Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully everybody had a nice Monday. Good start to the week. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Oh, good. Andy Bunker on this wonderful, beautiful, cloudy, but still balmy Tuesday.
A little warm out there.
A little Bobby Tuesday as we get ready for a bye week by the NFL team. Obviously, you had two Monday night games. I don't know how I feel about two Monday night games.
I know how I feel about
I know we love football and everything like that, but
it's hard to watch them.
I don't know how I feel about two Monday night football.
I like
games.
Focusing in on one of them on Monday night.
And them damn Dolphins, you know.
The other thing about the double Monday night game is they tend to both be crap.
Yeah, and that's the thing about
they
it.
Tend
like,
to both
like
be terrible
them damn
games.
Dolphins, I mean, first of all, they start out with them. Ugly ass uniform.
Oh, so
just so anti that even when the Heat wear, they're just raggedy looking. God. I don't care. They ugly.
That might be the thing you and I agree on most of all.
Yes.
Uniform history.
Yeah, man.
Especially the Dolphins. I mean, look, they've already broken from history
yes,
anyway.
They have.
With the Dolphin doing a belly flop.
And that new Aqua.
Yeah. God, they had some of the best jerseys ever.
That new Aqua.
And now
they need Aqua. What's light Aqua? Light Aqua?
Diet Aqua.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. A faded Aqua. Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, they really did. Like, the historic Dolphins jerseys are some of the great jerseys in the history of sports.
They turned that mean-ass looking Dolphin into that.
Into that. Looks like a guppy.
Yeah,
man. Now they're out there in black jerseys.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
Amen.
Missed me with that.
Amen.
But they did finally get a win last night.
They did.
They beat the Jets, who were really bad.
Really bad.
They're bad. They were out with some of their guys, but this has been all year.
Yeah.
Penalties.
Yeah.
Turnovers.
And very sloppy.
You know how I love me some AG. But boy, he better right this ship.
Yeah, they're a sloppy football team.
Yeah,
they make
man.
A lot of mistakes. They're not talented enough to make – really, no team's talented enough to make the mistake. They're fumbling at the goal line.
Yes.
They're jumping off sides. They're just – I mean, they're so undisciplined. And also, they're not all that good.
Yes.
So, Dolphins do get the win. Huge loss at the same time with Tyreek Hill going down. I didn't see it, and I don't want to.
No, you don't want to see
Did
it.
Did you see it?
Yes. Okay. And I was like, oh, and then because, you know, we watching the game, and then, you know, everybody, what? And I was like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just the dislocation of the knee, and then, you know, you got to go to the hospital. They found out it was worse than what it was. I mean, a lot more worse in there
ACL,
as far as the ligaments and ACLs and everything like that. So, yeah, he's going to be gone for a long time. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that that's a part of ball, man. And, you know, he had a better attitude than most people. Most people, you know, and sometimes, you know, you gotta fake it to make it and all those different things.
You gotta be tough as hell.
You gotta be
fake
tough
it
as
like
hell.
That.
Fake it like that, man. But
he
I
was
mean,
smiling and going off the field.
But I think, you know,
crazy.
It was crazy, man. But that's just where the, you know, when those unfortunate just getting tackled on the sideline and just your leg goes the wrong way. I was so happy to see Darren Waller. I'm the biggest Darren Waller fan. I love watching this kid play. Love his story, first of all.
He's been through a lot.
But love watching him play. And, you know, it was good to see him back out there. Immediate impact, two touchdowns. And just, you know, just again, love watching the boy play his story.
First player in like 5 years to miss a whole year and then come back and score two touchdowns in his first game.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, because he's a baller.
Pretty rare.
He's a baller when he's healthy.
Yeah. Good to see them get a win. You know, hopefully they can put something together. Still uninspired by their performance, but good to get a win.
Yeah.
Broncos get a win as well. They're 2-2 now. It seems like things may be evening out for them a little bit. Bengals are awful.
Yes.
And look, I mean, without Joe Burrow, you knew it was going to be tough, but
damn,
it's real tough.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Broncos is they're going to go as Bo Nix's accuracy goes.
Yeah, if he's efficient, they can win games.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, they're well built on both lines. Defense, they got a nice football team.
I didn't realize they hadn't had a 100-yard rusher in multiple
seasons.
That's crazy.
But I think that if Bo is accurate and everything with the football, they'll win football games because they're so good around him. Mm-hmm. The Bengals got issues.
They got to do something at quarterback.
They got to do something at quarterback. I know they were relying on the thing about, you know, Jake Browning, when Joe Burrow got hurt before, they were 4-3 and all those different things. He's been with them.
That was the right thing to say before he played a game.
Yeah.
Now he's played.
Yeah, you got Jamar Chase.
Couple games.
And, they need to call somebody.
I got a number for him.
I can call here.
404 or 770 or yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
Some area code.
Some area code down here.
678. I don't know.
Yeah. And call the Atlanta Falcons about their backup quarterback situation.
Yeah. Just call them.
Call the New York Giants about their backup
Maybe
situation.
Maybe you call them.
Hey, guys. We got a guy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he is – they're not good enough to have a bad quarterback, you know. And they got weapons. And they got – you know, you got sufficient quarterback play.
Even when they had elite quarterback play last year, and Joe Burrow in the second half, final 10 games of the year last year, played better than anybody.
He did.
They still lost all those games because their defense – now, their defense playing a bit better this year because it was only one really direction to go but up. But, yeah, I mean, you can't win games like that. Can't win games with Jake Browning back there?
No. And
can you win games with Kirk Cousins back there? I don't know, but I'd like to see.
I'd like to see that.
Wouldn't you like to see him in a Bengals uniform?
But that's the thing about it. It's like, are the Bengals willing to come up? Like, it makes more sense to go get one of the Giants quarterbacks
because of
the price tag, you know, of what it would cost to get him. But they are in a situation where, you know, they have a franchise quarterback that everything is based around, which is supposed to be.
Yep. But he misses half the season.
But he misses too many games, man. He missed 9 games last year with the wrist.
He's really honestly missed like almost half of the games that he's been eligible.
Yeah, and so but he's electric when he plays. Yeah, and so when you have that situation where you went out and paid both your receivers and you paid a defensive end and all these different things, and your quarterback is out, you're gonna look like this, man, when everything is based around like most teams.
Yeah, most teams.
Like most teams. But I wouldn't be surprised if another quarterback. I think they got like another week or so because y'all was trying to look for around a bye week or whatever. Mm-hmm. When they come in, when the guy can get a guy in, give him 2 weeks to prepare, getting into your system and through those things. But yeah, there's an issue up there in Cincinnati. When you got Jamar Chase over there at the sideline, like, hey man, you know, to the head coach.
Yeah.
Like in those situations, I can honestly say this. Zach Taylor said to him, I'm trying.
Too.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you the ball.
We're calling the plays for you. And I know you're open.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know you're open.
Yes, we know. I see you. I see you. You're wide open.
You don't have to show me the tablet. I know.
Yes,
I see
they
it.
Know. Like, we're trying to get you the ball.
That's not a you issue.
Yeah.
It's not a me issue.
Right.
And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Right.
But
right.
It's a Jake Browning.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
yeah, we know what it is.
We know what it is. We're trying our damnest to get our best player the football. Oh. You want to go play quarterback? We just snap it to you and you just run?
Yes.
You know?
Give it to me.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. About
My question is this, though. Like, look, obviously they got to think about doing something. Otherwise, this season is just a wash. And it's tough to be in September and feel like your season is a wash.
Boy.
But it's also what most teams would be like that if they lost that caliber of quarterback.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's sadly, the reality of the situation. If the Bills lose Josh Allen, that's what happens to their season.
Yes.
If the Ravens lose Lamar Jackson.
We're going to see because I think probably tomorrow we'll figure out how long Lamar's going to be out with his hamstring injury. So, yeah, man, it's tough sledding.
Yeah.
And then you live in Cincinnati?
Right. So
that'll make it no better.
Yeah, that chili's not getting you through the winter
damn
up there.
Right, man.
You know, you need to be winning. Jamar Chase even said as much.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, I like Cincinnati. It's easy to focus on football.
Like, damn, homie. Yeah. Well, but I mean, he's speaking facts. I'm guessing, but yeah.
I've never been, so I can't slander a place I've never been. But let me go so I can slander it.
No,
because I love talking bad.
You love talking
about
bad
like.
About cities and everything. Which I mean, there's never a reason for you go to Cincinnati unless. Only time I could see you go to Cincinnati if Ashley has a friend in Cincinnati.
She doesn't.
Okay, yeah. So you don't. So you never go.
One of her best friends is from Cincinnati.
Okay,
but they live in Charlotte. Oh, God. She picked cities great, didn't she?
Yeah, but
she's one of the people I like visiting in Charlotte. Actually, they've helped it be better slightly.
But yeah, I would not be surprised if they're on the phones with somebody trying to get another signal caller in there because it ain't gonna get no better.
No, it's not. And And there's a few teams that have backup. Obviously, I don't know if it's backup like wealth, but they've got backup options that they'd maybe be willing to come off of. You have to think the Giants would now that they've made the move to Jackson Dart, even though like somebody else is going to have to play quarterback at some point.
Because he plays reckless. He plays reckless.
Plays like a...
I mean, he had to come out. He had to come out of that
with
game
a loose wheel.
He had to come out to his first start already.
Yeah.
So I mean, I understand the juicing.
Russ
young
might
and everything
be back
like
in
that.
There.
But boy, this ain't. I know the SEC is rough and tough. That's been NFL, man. Uh-huh. And you're gonna get your ass split in half, man. But they are. But I think that's probably the logical option. With another quarterback situation, monitor Cleveland. What do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're going overseas to take on the Vikings and everything. But I mean, if you ain't seen what you need to see with Joe Flacco.
It's kind of playing out the way you thought it would.
Right.
I mean, I figured Flacco would probably be the quarterback for about a month. It would go how it's gone. Then it would probably be Dylan Gabriel's turn, and then that would go how it's going to go. And then it'll be Shedeur Sanders' turn, and maybe he plays well, maybe not. And then the season will be over.
Yep.
I mean, it was probably going to be about four or five games each.
Right.
And then you got a couple left at the end, and that's kind of that. So, yeah, there and then San Francisco.
Yep.
I mean, Purdy can't stay healthy.
And he's hurt.
They win when Mac Jones plays.
And then I know I think they got the short week because
Thursday.
Yesterday that Kyle said that Purdy came to him, my foot hurts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're in a situation where, I mean, that's the thing right now is all these damn injuries. The damn Chargers just lost out for a while.
I know.
So they're without both starting tackles. I mean, Khalil Mack's out. I mean, that is the one thing about nowadays, just all these. I was thinking about this when I was pulling in. Just all these damn injuries. I know why. I don't play football no more. I mean, you don't prepare your body for the physical rigors of what this is. It's hard, and you doing all these punk ass core muscle work instead of actually putting some iron on your back. you get hurt.
You're working out like me.
Yeah, get you down. Yeah, you know,
you're doing some side planks.
Yeah, doing Pilates and stuff.
Hey, man.
Put some iron on your back.
Pilates keep that core strong.
Get some iron off your chest. Damn, get some iron off for you,
Pilates,
man.
Pilates keep your...
I like Pilates.
Keep your posture straight.
I've done Pilates. It's a great workout. Yeah. I like doing yoga.
I'm not saying it'll get you ready for the NFL.
I'm just saying,
don't slander Pilates.
I like doing hot yoga. I like doing all that stuff.
That's what Kiffin's up to.
I am...
They couldn't show enough hot yoga clips of Kiffin in that documentary. It's like, all right, we get it.
I mean...
Thirst trap.
But I'm just saying, dog.
We get it.
It gets the mind right. My mind is right because of yoga. You know what I mean? It's right because of yoga, man. And I enjoy doing it now. Yeah. You know, but I can't do all the poses.
When's the last time you were doing yoga?
Oh, we're doing yoga now, dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Not downstairs, Bo.
Oh, you got a studio?
No, I'm saying like right now you're like you have yoga like this week?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, dog. I'm doing all that stuff, man.
I don't tell anybody.
I do it mostly for the sweat.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I just do it mostly for the sweat.
Well,
I'll be trying to get in the downward dog and all that stuff. That's, like, the easiest one for me. But, like, I just like to go in there and get my zen on.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to do
it.
Yeah,
man, get my zen and sweat on, dog, and, you know, just get myself right.
I love it.
But I wouldn't be doing that if I'm hitting grown men. I need some iron to hit grown men. I need some iron, man. I need to get some iron off my back, off my chest. When you go out there hit grown men, all these damn colorful bands.
Yeah.
The brown ones are for the resistance of the hamstrings and all that other crap. You know what get them hamstrings right? Squats.
Yeah.
Box squats.
How many down
box jumps?
Not too many down dogs are out there scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, man.
Although that thing Bijan did after he scored a touchdown
was freaking
on
awesome.
Sunday. That was some kind of yoga
I'm not
pose.
Saying you can't incorporate it. I'm just saying don't let that be the base of it.
Mix it in.
Don't even mix it in. Sprinkle.
Sprinkle it in.
Yeah. Sprinkle it in.
I do Pilates on Wednesdays.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. People know that now.
Yeah.
You're doing yoga, I'm doing Pilates, whatever.
Yeah, dog.
It's your favorite midday show.
Yeah, dog. Hey,
keep the core tight.
Speaking of your favorite midday show, again, Andy, we're going to be in Buckhead on Friday.
Hell yeah.
At Twin Peaks for a special broadcast. Come have lunch with us and all the scenic views. I like that scenic views part. As we get you ready for the big week in college and pro football.
Us.
Yes, exactly. As this Friday, 11 o'clock, baby, we'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
How do you think we project so clearly core strength?
Yeah. I ain't gonna say, I mean,
yoga,
core strength, all that stuff, man. Just give me some sit ups and crunches, man.
And
old school.
Yeah.
I had a six pack from doing sit ups and crunches, not all that other stuff.
I had a six pack from hot yoga. Anyway, let's get a break in here. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll tell you what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, we just kind of went back and looked at the study of it all and how to get open and how to utilize, you know, some of the guys that we did have. You know, like Kaden was a big part of that and how we wanted to utilize him, how we wanted to set him up. You know, obviously AK at the time, he was a part of that as well and getting those guys going and trying to find ways and trying to find different things that we can get going that way. You know, all of those guys up front being in different positions and trying to get those guys aligned to different things so we can dictate terms a little bit better. So that was a part of it on defense.
Yeah. Raheem talking about some of the things they tried to adjust from week to week.
Yeah.
10 sacks through four games, most they've had since 2017.
Okay.
Love that.
Yeah.
Now, six in one game was very helpful and would love to see that again.
Right.
But yeah, 10 through the first four into the bye week. Love it. Keep it rolling. There'll be more adjustments and changes and stuff like that as the season goes on. Some quarterbacks are easier to sack than others.
Yes.
Next guy they play is pretty tough to get on the ground.
Yes.
But they got a couple weeks to get ready for it.
Yeah, I think the pass rush is definitely improved.
Definitely.
Definitely improved.
You can see that it's better.
Yeah, you definitely can. And I think, you know, when you're getting ready for a player of Josh Allen, like you said before, he's so big, he's so strong and elusive all at the same time. He's a hard guy to get on the ground. So that's one of those things that I always talk about. You got to put your pads on. You got to put your pads on him because even if you got him wrapped up, he's so strong that he can still throw the ball 50 yards down the field with a defensive lineman draped all over him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got plenty of time to talk about that, man. I think the biggest thing that you can go into if you're the Falcons is, you know, you got this bye week. Guys can get healthier, can get some rest, and you can get ready for this long haul because it's a long haul, you know, after this bye week. You know, game after game, obviously you got a trip overseas. But yet, you know, this team, I'll just go back to what I said yesterday. They proved a lot to me. Not saying that they're cured or they're going to go on to contend or win the South. Just how they bounced back from that game just showed me a lot of football character there.
Yeah, they're capable of playing some really good ball. Obviously, they're capable of playing some really bad ball, too. He's got to even out that, you know, those highs and lows a little bit more. Let's talk just from a, you know, first quarter of the season perspective. I think returns on the rookies are pretty good. Obviously they had that great game where everybody recorded a big-time stat. I think by and large, you like what you see from the guys on the line and the guys in the secondary.
Yeah, I think when you look at this team's young players, first and second-year players, because that defense line is first-year players. Because you look at Dorlus and you look at Rook, they didn't play last year. Mm-hmm. So I put them in the group with Jalen and James. They've all been pretty good, man. Then you think about the young guys that's in the secondary. They've played well along with, you know, trying to catch up to the speed of the NFL. But yet they're not – it don't like they're overloading too much. Now, Watts can do it all, man. This dude –
he's really good.
He's really damn good at his job, man. I promise you that. He's really good at his job. But they're still doing the rotation. Leonard Floyd's playing pretty good also because, you know, you got the young guys that back him up. When you look at nickel Bowman. Mm-hmm. Bowman's playing pretty good. He's had some moments where, you know, luckily the throw wasn't there or something like that, but you can tell this guy is going to get better and better at that nickel position.
Yeah, ball hawk.
He's going to get better and better at that nickel
position. What I love is so much of what we kind of were told they are, they've shown through four games.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if there's any, and I know he's not a rookie, but a newcomer that's popped maybe more than anybody, Devon Diablo.
He's been great.
Played incredible.
He's been really good, especially in coverage.
And he's held down his role so well that Kaden Ellis can kind of do the other stuff that he does
does so well.
They can bring him on those sneaky blitzes, and he's such a good tackler in the open field and all that kind of stuff. Like, Devon Diablo is kind of providing the play that Troy Anderson
supposed to
or did when he was healthy. At this point with him, it's kind of just like – you know,
whatever
we'll see. I mean, can't count on it, obviously.
No,
but
because he's on a short term IR, they put him on IR to start the season, right?
Yeah, so he's got to, you know,
So they got to make a designation to get him off this week, isn't it? Yeah. 4 weeks?
I think so. Oh, okay. I think he's eligible to come back after 4 weeks. And then, I mean, okay. I mean, maybe. You know, I don't know. But also, where is he going to play?
Exactly. Because Devon, you can't take him off. Can't take him off the field. You know, and I know I saw a couple quotes from Rod through the game, how good he was at coverage. Yeah, he's really good, man. I think, you know, he is, and I know Joe Patrick said this when we talked to him this summer, but I was like, they didn't give him that kind of money to be the third linebacker, right. You know. And so either they knew more about him or they knew that Troy wasn't going to be ready anytime soon.
Probably both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, probably both. I mean, I'm sure they liked him to give him that kind of money.
Right.
Insurance policy, or maybe it wasn't even an insurance policy. Maybe it was just, we think this guy's really good.
Yeah.
We don't. Who knows with this guy? But we think this guy's really good. So far, so good. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about just the nature of close football games.
They're not perfect. I mean, I'm telling you guys, this is the new era of what we're going to see. There's games like that all over college football, and they're going to continue to be. And you know what? They got to go play a good team next week. We got to go play a good team next week. It's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, 100% just
right.
Because of the parity in ball,
yep.
The way that guys can transfer and all those different things, you can't keep the depth players like you used to because the kids don't want to wait. They want to go get theirs. I don't blame them for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you're going to have one possession. It's going to be a lot like the NFL scoring.
It really is.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot like the NFL scoring. You know, when you know, the mistakes will – the mistakes you make will come to bite you in the ass later on. Like, you can't have three turnovers and come back and win games. If you do, it's going to be a late second field goal, a three-point game, or something like that. And, I mean, when you look at two equally measured teams like Bama, Georgia, like Oregon, Penn State, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have those type of games. You're going to have one possession, you know, playing it close to the vest, trying to steal a possession, those type of games. And so it'll be like that. I mean, obviously you always respect your opponent. Kentucky's not very good. And, you know, I think Vanderbilt's good. I don't know how good they're going to be going down to Alabama. That's going to be the test, especially how good Bama is playing right now. But, yeah, I look forward to these games because they're not all blowouts, especially when you're playing conference games with equal teams with equal amount of talent.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun every Saturday just from a college football fan perspective. It's got to be absolutely brutal if you're one of those teams. Like, you're Georgia, and it's like, all right, every single Saturday, mm-hmm. this team's almost as good as us. That team's as good as us. This team, you know, you got Kentucky this weekend, which is nice. But that distance between the elite and the others is a lot smaller than it used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any better illustration than the game you just mentioned, the primetime game of the weekend, or one of the two of them, Vanderbilt at Alabama.
Yep.
That is not a sentence that you often said.
No, it's not.
I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, because you know what Vanderbilt has. They got a guy.
Yeah.
They got a guy who, don't nobody believe in him, he believes in himself. And he bets on himself.
We all believe in him by now, though, right?
I know what you mean. Yeah, but this dude is the ultimate, you know, competitor, ultimate force multiplier. You know, he wills them to wins. And with that being said, they play with so much confidence because he's their quarterback. And so, yeah, and so you think Bama got revenge on their mind, you know, and they're coming off a big win. No, they're feeling good down there in Tuscaloosa. And for them to get Vanderbilt in there in their building, considering what happened last year up at Vanderbilt
when they couldn't get off the field, Vanderbilt's lines just were pushing them around. It's just not something you see. All right, we'll get back into more college in about an hour from right now. More thoughts on that and start turning the page. Miami, Florida State this weekend as well.
Yeah.
Hawks Media Day was yesterday. All of the players took a bunch of nice pictures in their jerseys, filmed all the videos for the big screen, you know, like get loud and clap and all that.
Right.
Some people had some new tattoos I saw on social media, and Trae Young was asked if he was disappointed about not getting a new contract.
For sure.
Disappointment. I mean, maybe for sure. I mean, for me, like I'm so focused. I'm more happy about the team that we got going into the season. For me, I'm blessed, bro. Like I wasn't stressing about anything. If something happened, it happened. If it didn't, I mean, I still got, you know, time. And obviously everybody knows what my situation is going into the future. So for me, I'm focused on this team. I'm focused on right now. I'm blessed. I got a great team going into the season. One that, I mean, you can't really say I've had, you know what I'm saying? So I'm even more excited about that. And so who knows what the future is for me, but right now I'm here and I'm present, like me and Coach have been talking about, so I'm excited about it and I'm ready to go.
I got Abe just asked me a question. Do we have to film one? Like, why can't they use one from last year, the videos that we film?
Oh.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know if we got a film one.
Well, this one, you got a new sponsor on the jersey.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I'm going to have this. I mean, because the videos are awesome. First of all, we had a lot of fun doing them, and we love when they play them.
You and me.
Yeah,
our video. You and me.
Yeah,
our
video. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think. Ours was great.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And if
run
it's
it back.
One, I mean, they could use the same one. I wear the same shirt every time.
It's true. Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, wear the same shirt. So you can just recycle it.
Plus, last year we had to do a little acting.
Yeah.
You
so,
know?
I mean, just take the.
I don't know how much more of that we have in us.
I don't know, man. You know.
Shut up, babe.
I do not know. I do not know, man. But yeah, I mean, obviously, hell yeah, you wanted the damn contract extension this summer.
Yeah, and you're disappointed.
And you're disappointed you get it.
He said the right stuff after that. Yes. But I do like that some honesty sort of came out there. Because he wanted to be like, no, I'm not. Well, you know what? For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, I actually am. But he's right about all the other stuff, too. And you know what?
He is.
If he plays awesome and this team plays awesome, he qualifies for the Supermax and he's going to get more money than he would have gotten otherwise. Hopefully that is what takes place. All right, Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on that. Obviously, we'll ask him about the Oregon and Penn State double overtime game from Saturday night. Get his thoughts on the Falcons' bounce-back performance as well. Plenty to talk about with Mike Conte next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me how you love me if I'm in a
Abe said,
with me.
Abe said, Conte needs 60 seconds.
All right.
So do that for another minute.
If there's some money in it, and I ain't. You dig.
Kind of what? And I mean this with all due respect because
I shit. Peak
Lil Wayne was amazing.
Oh, yes, he was.
But that's kind of what Lil Wayne sounds like now.
Yeah, Lil Wayne, man.
You see the videos, it's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, man, that serves a.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
it'll get you.
It will, man. I mean, I've never tried it, never been tempted to try it.
I always wanted to.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to try that serve?
I did. Always wanted. Never did. Nobody ever had any codeine.
Yeah, man. I mean, I
asked.
I know plenty of people that had it. I just was never, that just never.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that never just was it was never one my thing, man.
Never, no, it wasn't my, I just, you know.
You just want to try it.
I just wanted
you want to try that purple drink.
I did. I wanted to try that purple drink.
You want
to
try that purple drink.
One time, and this is a true story. One time when I was producing the morning show in Seattle, I don't know why, but it was purple drink was a big news story for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think a Seahawk player couldn't stop drinking it or something like that and kept testing positive for stuff.
Right.
Does that ring a bell at all?
I know you're talking about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who it was, but it doesn't matter. But we had Paul Wall on the show as our purple drink expert.
Okay.
It was one of the greatest interviews we ever did.
Y'all asked Paul Wall about the drink?
Yeah. It was because the host was like, what is it? And I was trying to explain it. And I was like, let me see if I can find someone who can explain it better. And we tracked down Paul Wall, People's Champ. And he came on the show, and he did a whole, Purple Drink 101. It was pretty funny.
Y'all found Paul Wall? Did you ask him that question?
Well,
not about ball or nothing?
Huh?
Paul Wall.
People's Champ, Paul Wall?
Yes, I know who Paul Wall is.
Why would we ask him about football?
Wasn't it a sports show?
Yeah, but what does he know?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Were they playing Houston or something?
No.
Oh. Did you ask him about the grills?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Grills and Purple Drink.
Grills and Purple Drink.
What, I mean... Why would anyone want to talk about football, Paul Wall?
I don't know. I thought he was like an insider.
No,
insider
he
for
is.
The Texans.
No,
he's purple, the insider purple that drink, purple drink.
It was good. I should have won an award for that. Anyway, Mike Conte joins us now to talk all sorts of different topics. Purple drink, who knows? Mike, how are you?
Man, I needed some purple drink on Saturday night after the Penn State and Atlanta United and all that. Sorry I can't be with you, by the way, guys. I'm downtown getting ready for the Hawks. He's meeting with the Hawks today, so that's why I'm on the phone.
We were just talking because we were listening to Caleb's update. Like, damn, they got a game on Monday.
Less than a week.
Less than a week. Like, what happened to training camp? This is, like, they just go right to games?
I there's been a thing, and I think it was done in the last CBA or maybe the CBA before. They really, I mean, it's not like the NFL at all. They do a really, really brief training camp. You know, I think today is their first official kind of practice, if you will. And then, yeah, I mean, Monday night they jump right into the preseason, and the regular season will start in about 3 weeks. So they don't really mess around. You know, it's such a long season to begin with. It would almost kind of be cruel and unusual to make them do a longer training camp than maybe the bare minimum that's necessary.
Let's just start there since we started there, and then we'll get back to Penn State and talk about the Falcons and all that. But, I mean, with the season a week away, I know everyone was impressed by the offseason. The expectations are higher than they've been. Quinn Snyder with some quotes yesterday about not just championship pedigree on the roster, but like fifth and like a lot of winning pedigree on the roster. I know you're going down to talk with them today and everything, but is the excitement of the offseason seem to be sort of spilling over into this portion, the preseason training camp and all that?
It's interesting. I had a chance to talk to a lot of players one-on-one yesterday. Talked to Trey and Porzingis and Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels and got to win. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker, great guy, by the way. Love Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And I think all of them were, like, really pragmatic with that word expectations, and that's something that I tried to get out of them. You know, is it a good thing to go into a season? Can you embrace the fact that there are high expectations? And I think each of them that I talked to yesterday kind of shied away from, embracing the expectation. I didn't really get that vibe. I think it's more they see it as an affirmation of the talent that they've assembled. And that's one of the things that Kristaps Porzingis told me. You know, the fact that the Hawks have this level of talent gives him optimism that this is a team that can compete in the same way that Celtics team he was ago can compete. Which I honestly, that kind of took me back a little bit. That he sees this roster potentially being on that level. So we'll have to see. But I think it's a very pragmatic, very responsible type vibe that they have there right now, where they're going into the season knowing that, they've assembled a lot of great players for this roster, but you have to go out and do it now. It doesn't really mean anything until you go out and you prove it.
Hey, Mike, our very own Caleb Johnson asked Trey about the contract thing. Do you think that it was anywhere near a possibility that he would have gotten an extension this summer, or that you think it was all along they wanted to just wait till after this season?
No, I think it was very possible he would have gotten an extension, but it would not have been a supermax.
Okay.
I mean, I think there was probably a number that the Hawks felt pretty good about, that if Trey was good with that number, they probably would have done it. I mean, there's certainly no harm in trying to lock that up as quickly as you can. It's my gut feeling that they're probably still a little bit apart on the number. And now here we are. And I thought Trey was pretty honest yesterday in answering Caleb's question.
Yeah.
And now I think the thing that you're going to wonder is it going to be a distraction?
Right.
And if they're winning, it won't be. If they're not winning, it probably will be. winning's going to take care of a lot of things for this team this year. But if they underperform, if they struggle, especially early, I kind of get nervous about, this contract storyline coming back onto the front page. Hopefully not.
Is it fair to assume that because, like you said, they're probably a little bit away right now from agreeing on a number, that if it doesn't get done before the season starts, that's an after the season conversation?
I think that's almost certain.
Okay.
Very, very seldom. I think there are examples of something like that happening during a season, but I think it's very, very rare. I would imagine the clock is probably ticking on that. That's kind of how the Hawks have traditionally done business. Mm-hmm. And I know you have, this is, I think, now the fourth or fifth different general manager that they've had. This is my 12th season doing their games on the radio. I think this is their fifth different general manager. So they all kind of operate differently. But I think traditionally, I remember like Dennis Schroeder got an extension the night before the season started. And that's kind of like the self-imposed deadline that they've worked under in the past. So I'd imagine you probably have three more weeks. And then, yeah, you know, if it doesn't happen in the next 3 weeks, then this is something that's going to linger. And I didn't really get a sense yesterday that anything was imminent.
Mike, because I know it was a rough weekend, obviously, for you, for your alma mater, Penn State. My question for you is this. What quarterback do you think, if Penn State had, with the talent that was there, would have won that game for you on Saturday?
Now, that's a great question, Randy. And let me take a left turn with that. I think what we have now seen with a large enough sample size, unfortunately, Drew Aller is just not the guy right now that's going to get Penn State to a championship level. And, you know, a lot of people are making this an issue about James Franklin and his record against top 10 teams, which is what it is. But, you know, Aller made a critical mistake at the end of the Orange Bowl last year that cost Penn State a trip to the national championship. He made a catastrophic mistake at the end of the Oregon game last year that cost them a Big Ten championship. He makes another mistake. You know, Penn State had stopped the Oregon two-point conversion. They're in the driver's seat. He makes another mistake. I think the linebacker this time makes a really good play. I don't think it was a god-awful throw by Aller, but it wasn't a good throw. And, you know, these are three losses that I think the Penn State fan base wants to put directly on James Franklin. James Franklin had them in position to win all three of those games. It was the quarterback who went out and didn't execute. Now, the coach does bear a responsibility. You know, in that Orange Bowl, I don't think that, you know, Franklin nor the offensive coordinator, Andy Kolbenicki, had a really good feel for how Drew was struggling throughout that game. So I'm not necessarily wanting to put him in position to have to make that throw. But this is where Penn State is right now. And it really reminds me a lot, guys, of the Aaron Murray, Mark Richt era at Georgia. Always in position to win the big game, but it always seemed to come down to a coaching error or a quarterback error that would cost them. And that's where Penn State is right now. And look, that's still not a bad place to be. I think a lot of programs around the country would kill to have the opportunity to play in all the big games that Penn State has been playing in. But they're not going to get over the hump unless Drew Aller figures it out really quickly. And I think he's regressing. I think, you know, if you look at him over the last 3 years, I think he's regressed.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Hawks, talking Penn State, obviously, after that tough loss on Saturday night against Oregon. Did want to get a couple Falcons questions in here with you too, Mike. Awesome bounce-back performance after what was a real tough one against Carolina. Let's take just a four-week snapshot because we got the bye and it's about a quarter of the way into the season. Offensively and defensively, who's a guy on either side that's impressed you the most?
Well, defensively, I heard you guys talking about it in the last segment. Divine Diablo has just been such a find for them. And, you know, I think Pierce and Walker and the guys that they've drafted, Watts, obviously, they've really stood out in a positive way. But Divine Diablo was a guy that I really have any expectations for. And he's coming. He's played extremely, extremely well. Great, great find by Terry Fondo. Got to give him credit. Offensively, you know, I'm going to go way, way off the board here and say Chris Lindstrom. Because I think, you know, obviously you have the concern when Caleb McGarry got hurt. What was this going to look like? And would the Falcons be able to run the ball? Would they be able to protect Penix? And, like, Lindstrom, to me, maybe I was paying too much attention to the offensive line play on Sunday. I thought Lindstrom had one of his best games of his career on Sunday. And, you know, Bijan and Algier have a lot to credit him on because he was opening up a lot of running lanes for them, I thought. So we take Chris Lindstrom for granted. I think he's someone who's played phenomenally well in the first 4 weeks. And look, you're one poor performance by a kicker away from potentially being 3-1 right now, which far exceeds what I expected in this first quarter of the season. So, all in all, I'll take it. I'll take where the Falcons are right now.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mike Conte there, 92.9 The Game. Boss, but also Hawks and United broadcaster, joins us every Tuesday talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. I found his take on Penn State interesting just because we've talked to him about Penn State a million times, right? His feeling on James Franklin is pretty clear, right? Yes. I think he thinks he's a good, kind of not great coach.
Yeah.
But he's right. Like, they're closer than they've ever been.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, nobody wants, like, Penn State fans don't want to hear that.
Right. Right?
Especially not from somebody who's not a Penn State fan.
Mm-hmm.
But they are.
Yes.
They are closer than they've been.
Yes.
His record is 4-21 against top 10 teams, but a lot of those games were blowouts.
Yes.
They're not blowouts anymore. And again, that's cold comfort, whatever, but, like, it's true. Double overtime loss against Oregon is not the same thing as losing by 3 touchdowns to Oregon.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So, I don't know what all that means or is well, to say I, or anything, I, but, like, they're closer than they were.
I mean, yeah.
The program is still building.
Yeah, it's still building, but I think they're more closer to the – I don't want to say the finishing product.
Or did the field come back to them?
I think that's more than anything. I go back to what Kirby was saying, like, because everything is so dispersed now. But you would, what was the biggest reason we gave Penn State so much hype or whatever? It's because of everything that was coming back. You got the veteran quarterback. You got the two runners. I know you lost Abdul Carter, but your defense still is top notch. Mm-hmm. You went and took Ohio State's DC to come be your DC. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different things, I think, factors that a lot of people, myself included, were giving Penn State the benefit of the doubt because they did win two playoff games. They were a horrible throw from Allard from damn near probably being in the national championship game. Like, there were you saw that, but then you were like, okay, he's coming back.
Right.
All this experience, but, and then, you know, it happens again. But my thing is, because of the 12-team playoff, like, they're still in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, it's nobody wants their school to lose. But I don't go into panic mode because Georgia just lost to Alabama.
Right.
Because we're still one of the best teams in the country. And we still got a lot of meaningful games, mainly when you got freaking Ole Miss coming here. You got freaking Texas coming here.
Yeah.
And then it was announced yesterday, you got to go to damn Jordan-Hare at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know strange things happen down there, man.
Strange things happen on the plains, Andy. There's a lot of huge games left on the schedule for all these teams. And again, just like I said about Penn State, no diehard Georgia fan wants to hear a non-Georgia fan. And it's not like make excuses for what happened on Saturday or anything, but say anything other than something extreme. But you guys are fine.
Yeah.
Georgia's fine.
Yeah.
Penn State's fine.
Yeah.
All these teams that are still in the mix, fine. You just got to get there.
Yeah, that's it.
Look what Ohio State did last year.
Yes. Embarrassed.
They weren't even in the Big Ten championship game.
Correct.
They lost their rivalry game, but they got to the dance. And you know what they did? They went home with the prettiest girl.
Yep. Got her.
You just
got
to get to the dance.
Got her.
Still in it. Still in it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to NFL No Huddle, kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.